The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which our heroes draw a card.
There it is. Okay. The Samson Protocol from Just Dave and the Thursday Gamers.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
Do you think that has anything to do with Venture Brothers?
Rock Samson, I hadn't thought
Rock
of that.
Rock Samson.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
I was feeling more along the lines of some kind of Tom Clancy novel. And it has that vibe as a title.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking biblically, yeah, if it wasn't for the Brock Samson reference.
Oh, true.
So,
yeah.
So you can possibly combine all three of them, that you've got Brock Samson as a biblical hero in a Tom Clancy novel.
Folks,
that would make perfect
let's
sense.
Let's save some of this gold for the actual episode.
That's true. Okay, yeah, let's put some of this back in.
Okay, see you soon, guys.
Some days later...
Did Craig stop knocking on them?
Do we have to get the mittens?
No. So, shall I do the thing where I...
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah, okay. Hi, folks. This is episode 33 of The Big Red Couch, and we are...
Craig.
Ben.
Kev.
And Tonya.
I got it right again. Nailed it.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
You owned that self-identification.
Indeed.
It's true. I shouldn't nod. It's a microphone.
The topic for this week is the Samson Protocol, which does come to us from Just Dave and the Thursday Gamers in Montreal. We were just talking about you guys, so this is kind of awesome. Ben's been listening to podcasts,
yes.
Other podcasts, podcasts who aren't us, and cheating on us with them. And apparently you came up in conversation there, so yay!
Or is another Dave from Montreal and completely unrelated, and we can see how that could happen.
Yeah. So, who's got ideas?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have an idea.
Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
All right. I took a look at the Samson Protocol and decided that it sounded effectively like a Tom Clancy or maybe Robert Ludlum approach to a biblical epic.
Ooh.
I am wondering if various people are going to core each other's ideas. It doesn't happen often, but this may be one where it happens. Let's see where it goes.
I thought about that one, but couldn't really think of a way of making it work. I mean, I could see... Yeah, I can see that being done as a movie or as a story,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't quite make it work as a game. And so I started to try to think a little bit laterally and eventually landed on something that I think would probably work well for a heist-type game, possibly
Ooh.
Something like the Leverage RPG. In that, you know, the core sort of Samson story from my very dimly remembered youth... Yeah, really, what brings down the temple is the fact that in their overconfidence, the bad guys bring the thing that brings down the temple into their midst, thinking that it's harmless.
Thinking that they've made it harmless.
They've made it harmless.
Like a Trojan hero dude.
Yeah, Trojan cue ball, effectively. And so that got me thinking of heist-type games where effectively you start the scenario very much in media... In a circumstance where the team has been caught, the mission is compromised, the explosives that they have smuggled in to destroy the doomsday weapon that is going to drill down to the center of the earth and detonate, yeah, whatever. Depends on how stupid you want to go with whatever Dr. Evil's plan is this time.
That's a perfectly feasible plan. It would have worked if you hadn't have stopped me.
If it hadn't been for those pesky kids.
Yes.
Or indeed, the secret agent with appalling dentistry. In any case... You start the game off with the team's covers are blown, their cache of weaponry is discovered, it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
The game is effectively one of flashbacks and recontextualizing to find out how this was the plan all along.
So it really is a leverage game.
Yeah. You know, it's a bit like the show Mission Impossible, mm-hmm. where in most of the episodes, at some point, it looks like things have gone completely wrong. Everything's screwed up. Only that was part of the plan.
Mm.
So you basically start
Someone
the game...
Someone critical turns out to be the rubber-faced man.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You start the game at this point and then, aha, I was the second-in-command all along.
Nice.
I would have got away with it if you hadn't been to you pesky kids, etc.
And I get the impression this is something that you would build as you go.
Yeah.
Almost like an unfiasco. You take a disastrous situation and you set it to rights.
I think so, yeah.
In a dramatic way.
I was thinking fiasco when you were first talking about it, of setting up your people as members of the biblical story and then just kind of run through it and see what happens. with your twist being somebody delivers a pair of scissors or something wow. along those lines.
The biblical playset, biblical story playset for Fiasco. That's not going to go anywhere horrifying at all.
No, I'd explain some of the stupid, monstrous bullshit that happens in the Bible, though.
And that was me thinking I was the one pulling the sacrilege button. Okay.
Yeah. So basically we should start working on the Old Testament playset for Fiasco and...
Wow. Okay.
Yes, so that's where I went with the Samson Protocol.
Oh, I like that. Well, the idea that the Samson Protocol is... It's already balked.
Hmm. But was the plan all... It turns out to have been the plan all along.
Yeah, okay.
The whole reason that the team got caught trying to smuggle a tactical nuke into the lair is so that they could get themselves and the tactical nuke right into the shielded headquarters.
But was it a tactical nuke at all?
Yeah,
was it just
ever a tactical nuke?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Was it something else that was necessary?
Yes.
Way to get the cache in.
Or it's a portable x-ray machine that they're going to use to crack the vault, except nobody's going to say boo if the tactical nuke, the thing that's obviously a tactical nuke and you can look at and say, look, it's a tactical nuke, it wants you to know that it's scary, is radioactive.
Yep.
Nice.
So it was never about blowing things up, it's a case of we break into the vault, we find the codes, we enter the destruct sequence, we leave.
Yeah.
Bish, bash, bosh, done.
Yes.
So he's working that backwards from base principles, as it were.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay, so game. The curtain rises on the game, basically in the middle of the supervillain's monologue. And
I think so, yeah, as people are being ushered in handcuffs and told, you will kneel!
Prodded out over the piranha tank.
Yes.
Indeed, yeah. Yes.
Piranhas have been bred to live in lava.
Ah, yes, lava piranhas.
Yes, we haven't been thinking about James Bond at all.
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't really left a lot of other things to discuss on that one because
that's pretty much complete. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much a setup for a game.
Possibly even less than you thought you did, because my idea kind of ran along those same rails.
Go on.
The thing that I hit Wikipedia, read down through that. Oh, that's crazy stuff. But the thing again that caught my attention was the fact that because of hubris on someone's part, Samson wound up in the temple, hulked out, and pulled or pushed the pillars. This is apparently a very contentious point of biblical study. I can't imagine why. Maybe it's architecture.
Academics do that.
Yeah, that's true.
He said, as an academic.
But it's either that or find real jobs.
True.
He says, as somebody who's considering becoming an academic.
Nice one. The thing that caught my eye was that the Philistines' temple, damn those Philistines, was specifically a temple to Dagon. Wacky fish and...
really?
God of plenty. Yeah, specifically a temple to Dagon, eh? Who is repurposed. I thought you might like that. It's been repurposed and reused, including by wacky Uncle Howard. Though, and the idea of pulling it in as... people, it sounds like a very Delta Green sort of thing.
Mm.
Infiltrating a cult.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, getting caught accidentally in an attempt to take it down. I would want to play carefully with this material because we've had some run-ins with the whole fish miscegenation, crazy alien cultures like, you know, the Irish problem that Mr. Lovecraft has.
Yeah.
And plus the icky...
So you want to skirt around the racism thing.
Yeah, fish molestation kind of thing.
Yes. H.P. Lovecraft, fantastic creepy writer, kind of a horrifying racist.
Yeah, there's also...
which may or may not have been the style of the times, so we don't really care.
It's important up to a point, but yeah.
Mm.
So the idea that you're running a game where you're infiltrating a cult, that is likely to be quite... difficult and extreme, depending on what sort of cult you're talking about. I suppose if you're talking about Scientology, no wait, that would also be weird and extreme because Scientology is quite strange. The idea of moving into an organisation like that, it would be very tense, difficult sort of role-playing, I suspect.
I think there's two different possible angles you can go with. You can go with infiltrating the cult as being assumed to be members, Mm. Or there's the whole Samson Protocol idea, if you have been captured by the cultists, who know that you are outsiders, and they are on to you and your schemes, and they even caught your dog. And
they are taking you to their leader, at which point you can...
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
I always respected the fact that in Fallout you could do exactly that. You could get captured and say, take me to your leader, and they say, okay.
If you had had enough charisma.
True.
Yeah. With Ben's take on sort of infiltrating it as being part of the cult, I'm seeing kind of an apocalypse world thing going on there. If you're kind of creeping up through the ranks as, if you kind of contextualize it as you're cutting yourself away from the world, in something that's probably a little bit horrifying.
It could happen in Apocalypse World, but it would be a smaller part, it would be a relatively small part of the story.
I was thinking of the cult being in the cult compound as being your apocalypse, as far as your people are concerned.
That is interesting.
I'm not thinking of it being a worldwide apocalypse, but as far as your players are concerned.
That's an interesting idea.
That is a very interesting idea. What it tripped for me is in Apocalypse World, you play archetypes. You play kind of the apex of whatever you do. You are the road warrior and so forth. But making the apocalypse,
smaller and more intimate again.
No bigger than the palm of your hand kind of thing. That is really cool.
And you can still have your players being archetypes of the information gatherer, person who makes sure that you have equipment and supplies, the person who makes sure that you have a way out, either physically out of the compound or out of this life, should you be captured. I can see the edges of something there. But
if you wanted to set it up as the path of a larger thing, so that this cult infiltration is kind of a campaign and a longer thing, and you wanted it to have lingering impact, something that a system that might be worth using as a base would be an anarmis, because then you've got the hardened and failed madness notches. So being part of this cult is going to the mark. It's going to change who you are. It's going to change how you see the world, and that's going to matter. So it's kind of we want to win this. We need to win this. How far are we willing to go in order to do that? Because how far we're willing to go is going to last.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting.
Mm. That is actually that's an awesome take on a kind of poorly thought out idea. Because the notion of making the... It's a little bit like... Is it Wasted Youth? I always forget the name of where your teenagers kicking against the man.
Misspent youth.
It actually sounds like it would actually make a good misspent youth thing, because the cult structure would be the authority you're fighting against.
Absolutely.
And succeeding but taking on aspects of the authority in that one would be really telling.
It would.
And where will you sell out?
Yeah.
What point? The Apocalypse World version of it, to me, I think that would work really well for a circumstance where you're infiltrating a cult, and it's a cult that is sliding into madness and doom. With that whole, the whole instructions to the person running the game of Bath Fourth Apocalyptica, and that things are going to get worse. So that people playing in the Apocalypse World version, this is a cult that's, to a certain extent, coming apart.
Yeah. There have been a lot of recent, shall we say, reinterpretations of God's law in recent months.
Yes. Increasing tension and conflict between the orthodox Dagonites versus the, the heretical reformers, who are much more evangelical. And consider the source. Dude. Yeah.
And also want to marry their cousins.
Yeah. Pretty fine-looking cousins there.
Yeah, there's always the chance that you can use the classic distraction of, look, someone's attractive cousin.
The Simpsons. Where would we be without you?
Well, I've got a thing on a slightly different tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Again, starting from the some kind of Clancy-esque, maybe Clive Cussler type.
Clive Cussler.
Clive Cussler?
I've never read any of their books. His book specifically because of the name of his protagonist.
Remind me.
Dirk Trojan.
Yep. Dirk Pitt.
And I made that choice when I was all of 16.
I thought it Dirk Pitt, I thought.
Oh, Dirk. That might have, actually, Dirk Trojan might have been a parody character, the friend of my mate.
God, I hope so.
But yeah, but it was particularly... I think it was probably about the time.
So your friend put you off Clive Cussler for good?
Yeah, I think he did.
Okay.
Weren't you guys playing a Clive Cussler video game at one point? There was...
What?
There was some sort of shooty thing on a boat.
Call of Duty 4? Was it on the console?
I think
or
it was a console.
Okay. Let me consult the unhelpful bookshelf of games.
There won't be any of those.
I just remember something where there were people
Clive
doing...
Cussler wrote a game about a pig and a reporter bringing down evil in the world.
I could be wrong. I just remember you guys playing a console game at some point where the opening thing, you seemed to be on a boat in the on some sort of diving platform and you're possibly being attacked by a seaplane. Or did I dream that?
That was Uncharted.
Yeah, that kind of sounds about right.
Yeah.
Actually, right, Uncharted is kind of Clive Cussler-esque.
So it wasn't actually written by him, it just has most of the tropes?
Who knows?
That explains so much. Like, how there was a giant Nazi
submarine on a mountain.
Beached a long way into the Amazon jungle.
And
up the waterfall.
And weird plot holes where you find half of a book in a chest at the bottom of the ocean, except somebody managed to open it under the ocean and only take half the book and the other side's dry.
Or they
little plot holes.
It could be that it was written on vellum.
Or they very carefully desubmerged the trunk in question, opened it, thought, I need half of this, but I better put everything back in the way I found it.
That's just manners.
It does also explain a certain angle of the love-cracking, flaky, goofball protagonist who, as soon as you actually start playing the game, murders about a billion dudes in the first half hour. But it's okay
because
they're
no
brown.
Fair. Also always has a friend with him who is a little like the fairy. That chick.
Except played by Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fairy from...
Zelda.
Okay.
Navi?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I just know that she's annoying and I wanted to squash her.
it's basically any game where you get regularly reminded of helpful facts that are bleedingly obvious to anyone who isn't inbred.
You should reload.
Yeah. and magic.
Hey, this fiery thing, you should light that. Yeah, I'm looking over here right now. Hey, this fiery thing, you should light that. I'm looking over here.
Magicka parodied it hugely, so that you had things like, did you know damage harms enemies? And kind of, yeah, anyway.
Anyway, the story goes that you have a small outpost that is miles from anywhere. I don't really care about the environment, but in my head it was a underground bunker in somewhere snowy, so embedded in an ice flow in the north somewhere, I don't know.
Carved into an iceberg,
I like it.
Not great forward thinking, but...
Oh, if you anchored the iceberg...
Yeah. Anyway, I had this feeling that you have lots of technical things going on there. It might be a listening station, it might be a code-breaking station, I don't really know. But there is an enemy force that is trying to break in. Whether the enemy force knows what they've found or not, I don't know. That could be something for the players to decide. The situation, supplies are running short, and I've written down here, when the situation gets hairy, that's when you trigger the Samson Protocol, as the back of book splash thing. And I've written Samson down as an acronym. So I'm going to need help with a backronym for that, for what that actually stands for. the players could be in the outpost, in which case the game becomes a survival horror, where the protocol wipes the drives and possibly the memories of the players, of the player characters.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Okay, so you come to, there's lots of beeping shit around you, and some of it looks like it's gone fizzle pop. Use what's left to survive. There are people at the door going bang, bang, bang. What do you do?
And apologetic note. Sorry, future self. We triggered the Samson Protocol, and now you have, like, a couple of automatic pistols and a knife to fight your way out of the base. It's probably going to be busy.
Should have called that the Wolfenstein Protocol.
That's pretty good.
That's good. The players could also be backup. So the people at the outpost have triggered triggered the Samson protocol, which instead calls for these hardy, long-haired dudes to come to come and beat up the people who are picking on them.
So you defrost a squad of Fabio.
you defrost a squad of. I really like that. That's awesome. I like it.
Or
we take the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen approach and pick action heroes of the mullet years. So we've got MacGyver, we've got Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China.
Snake Plissken.
Snake. Okay, several of them played by Kurt Russell. Holy shit, many of them played by Kurt Russell. Okay.
Okay, so the all-Russell squad get thawed out and then they have to get to this place in time over horrible terrain and break the siege before the enemy gets it. So that's that game. And the third possibility is that the players are the people trying to break into the outpost.
Ooh.
Hmm.
So you have to get to the well-defended magic button, whatever that happens to be, before it is either destroyed or before backup arrives. Yeah.
That's interesting. The first idea that I had about the you're in the base and you need to figure shit out and everything's not working thing, people are playing the outpost. Something fucked up the AI, it's fractured, it doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, okay, so it's unmanned. It just thinks it's people.
It may not be designed to be unmanned.
Ooh. So it's downloaded parts of itself into the human brains available.
Or alternative.
But because it's got so much data, it won't all fit in one head.
Or it's got gone the other way. Somebody in, you know, got shot trying to defend the place, uploaded themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That glitched. They've merged with the existing base AI, which is fractured. Mm-hmm. So you've got different facets of a personality with different tool sets that is the base.
That's very interesting. I can't quite get my head on what win conditions would be.
I can't either, but if we were going with an appropriately simple system where basically the question of how things were being accomplished wasn't really relevant, just that they were, then people could make up their own win conditions. So it's kind of, you could have people playing on hard mode and saying, okay, we want to let people inside the base just long enough that we can steal their bodies.
Oof.
That fails a number of ethics tests, but is interesting.
So, eclipse phase?
It depends how big a fan people are of getting 1,000 freebie points to spend during character generation. I was going to go with Fate Accelerated, where you don't.
Yeah, eclipse phase would take me days to write even one shell for a character, let alone multiple shells.
It looks fantastic if you're capable of comprehending numbers, and
I can't be bothered these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's very much this is a system that is not for us, rather than a system that doesn't work, in comparison to Cthulhu Tech, which is just fucked. But anyway, we'll move on.
Yes, it was the...
Tell us what you really think.
The big red cow.
I must say, yes, the fish molestation was a reference to your Cthulhu Tech review. Yay, we get to reference one of your reviews.
Oh, we're going recursive.
Yes, okay. We are. We are totally recursing.
Understood.
We're all recursive.
Practically meta.
Okay, now I have to find a clip of the Inception play over that part. Over
nice.
Every time Ben says recursive.
Ooh, very ooh. Nice.
I've got it. There is a part of a data center loading dock, which years ago I noticed standing in sounds exactly like standing in the phase resonance chamber in Half-Life 2.
Ooh.
So I've taken a recording of it just so we can layer it over something later.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Well, coming back to the Samson Protocol idea with the base.
Yep.
I think having open win conditions would be an interesting one, because that would work as a con game, I think. You know, basically, you're in... There's a situation. You're dealing with it. You realise that you probably don't have bodies. Oh dear. And now what do you do, kind of thing.
Okay, so for a con game, the win condition is figuring out how to be okay with being parts of an AI?
Or reintegrating.
Or reintegrating to a whole person. Or having yourself written to a drive so you can go back to the world.
Yeah. I mean, it may be that fixing the computer so that its glitches go away and you have better access to the base and can defend.
Mm.
I'm now imagining some kind of system that we would need so that as different elements of the AI merge, it gets a lot more powerful and able to do things, but that's because we've seen some Steven Universe recently and the idea of personalities combining and gaining in power is a thing.
Just becoming more stable as human beings.
Yeah.
I've got some theories we can talk about that later, which
we need some
crazy shit going on there, and I'm loving it. I was particularly intrigued by the idea that Samson Protocol literally takes all of the IP out of the systems in the base and the operators.
Yep.
But basically the last thing that happens is an apologetic note gets printed out saying, sorry, this is terrible, but we had to basically scramble your eggs to get out of this. At this point, you're no longer a liability, but you're in deep trouble. However, we have left mimetic markers and clues
around that will allow you to get some of your the information and skills back so that you can...
The self-defense stuff.
For self-defense to pick up some things. And the idea that your characters start off as near blank slates and you start, when you attempt certain things, success or fail, you start picking up. You basically get you if it was for a Congo, you start handing out bits of people's character sheets. Not quite at random, but you start uncovering sections and saying, holy shit.
Well, if you have a skill, basically you do have character sheets, but the skills trees in all of them is completely empty.
Yeah.
And it's template-based, so you slot in these different things. I mean, the thing that I like about that idea that you could... I am thinking of things totally in terms of fate at the moment, but if say, that there was skill or stunt template that came with aspects, and then you're finding various records left in the base where you figure out that you've picked up, I know this thing, except you've got... You're remembering history for multiple people.
Yeah.
That you happen to have picked up the caches left by two different people in a hurry.
Oh, okay. So that whatever the mechanism that by the way the base is defended and run is that you could have shared some experiences. Say it's a sort of a more high tech like skill software or brain swapping kind of universe, and you end up reassembling your squad, but not quite.
It's a bit jumbled.
Yeah.
Hmm.
If people had 5 minutes to put this together and assumed that they would figure out their own sets of clues and assumed that everyone individually would be doing stuff where it turns out that things are a lot more chaotic and somebody's going, oh, hey, a thing on the floor, click and slot it into their own head with just, you know, first-person horror scenario, video game logic. It's a thing. Hey, plug it into me. and then you wind up with this kind of jumbled instruction set, and where it might get particularly exciting if we want to kind of complicate things even further, which I'm not sure whether we do or not, there might have been slightly competing agendas among the staff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, probably not for a con game, but for something slightly longer that would be fine.
Mm.
And it depends on whether the skill wires, I'm thinking of it in a Shadowrun kind of, thank you, kind of way. If the crystals come with little bits of memory or little bits of agenda, then that becomes part of the game, so getting yourself sorted out from other people.
Wow, that would be weird. It's like, okay, somehow I wound up with the highest firearm skill and an urge for pacifism.
What the?
Two different agendas. Protect the integrity of the base's security and loot its gubbins.
Dissonance, which actually should probably be the name of the game.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Or if, I think for a con game, having people just blank slates with a bunch of skills that don't come with you, that kind of emotional trauma would probably keep you within your 4-hour time slot.
The idea of rushing around, assembling your characters from little bits of mementos and stuff scattered around the place would be pretty good for a con game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I look in the locker, I see a picture of a family. Okay, what does this... I grab that and smack it against my head a couple of times, see if that gives me some memories.
There's systems for that in Monsters and Other Childish Things and the Dreadful Secrets of Candlewick Manor.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that you can figure out that you're having a strong response to something and you roll some dice and then you that gives you kind of the magnitude of the response, and then it can all figure out what's going on with it, and you can have hilarious circumstances of realizing that your arch nemesis who you're about to murder in a knife fight is in fact your long lost sibling. And they haven't figured that out yet.
Awkward.
Awkward. Yeah.
Does that mean you can start using that relationship as hit points? Because I seem to remember that was a thing for monsters.
Think so. It's been a lot. They're fantastic books. It's been a long time since I've read them, though.
Okay.
Hmm.
They do have wonderful, wonderful sidebar titles like "My Mama Was a Pine Tree."
anyway.
And such excitement.
I should probably briefly say that Happy Jacks have probably beaten us to the punch on the all Kurt Russell game, because they were discussing a Tales from the Floating Vagabond, all Harrison Ford across the multiverse game, which someone, I think Stu ran, and they were just they were thinking about it, like, who else could we deal with? Kurt Russell. Kurt fucking Russell.
Great minds think alike. That would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I have run into another con game where all of the players were different fictional incarnations of Hunter S. Thompson.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be a game in which you could get absolutely nothing done.
And yet they did.
Okay.
And it apparently started to pick up an audience. And I remember at one point there was applause as one. You had six people all yelling, "Bats!" as circumstances warranted. So,
wow.
Yeah. Actually, who else could you do that with?
Clint Eastwood.
Actually, yeah. The multiple Clint Eastwood game would also be kind of focused.
And have musical sections.
Not very many, though. I kind of get the impression that he wasn't willingly singing in Painting Wagon.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, yes.
That would be, again, awesome, and you'd have a much wider spread of skills there.
Yes, and you can divide it up into pre-cocaine and post-cocaine. But
if you want to really get a game where people can do their creepy, you could do Brad Dourif.
Oh, well, Brad Dourif's enough of a chameleon that would there be enough links to kind of have that, you know, Kurt Russell plays a bunch of different people. Yeah. It's Kurt Russell.
It's still Kurt Russell. No, that's true.
I think...
Doug Jones.
Yeah. Doug Jones?
Well, then you get to have Abe Sapien, the Pale Man, the Fawn.
Ron Perlman.
Ooh. Nice.
I think we are getting increasingly off topic, but awesome anyway, side roads.
These are awesome side roads, yes. Anyway, if there is a game where you have an all Ron Perlman team coming to save a small outpost base, yeah, actually, that would be quite cool.
Yeah. We have complete justification for that concept right there.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
I'd pitch all Keanu Reeves, but...
Nah.
What do you do?
You run into a similar problem with Arnie and...
Yeah.
Actually, the All Jackie Chan channel would be kind of cool, too.
Yeah. I'm resisting the impulse to turn around and examine the shelf of terrifying DVDs, I speak.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Willis? He's a little bit more animated, but he's quite similar.
Mm.
It's the Keanu Reeves thing, but less woe.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Those are fantastic ideas. I will play in those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When are you running?
Damn!
Rowingy! You're the one that did. Anyway, okay. I have an idea of myself, and then I have some ideas in the section that we're going to start calling John Tent, because it makes us amused, because we've got more ideas than John Allison. But my idea is, I have once again brought the shallow and stupid to this whole spitballing thing.
Hey, that's my gig.
This is shallower and stupider.
Screw you.
We are talking fantastically simple, deeply stupid con game in which aliens have stolen the person in the world with the strongest hair and are creating giant hair tentacles that are coming down from the sky and attacking the world and hair homunculi and things, and you have to stop them by cutting that person's hair, by breaking into the alien mothership and shaving them.
So it's actually the Rapunzel protocol.
Damn!
But yes.
Nice. It's only the Rapunzel protocol if you climb up the spaceship, but in spacesuits using the hair.
But you kind of have to. You kind of have to.
Yeah.
Fighting giant lice and other problems on the way. That would be great. Apparently, that was the line.
No. Dandruff lunch.
Dandruff lunch. I'm liking.
You're right. That is sillier and stupider than what I thought.
Weirdly enough, I was thinking Fabio at the time. Yeah, alien stole Fabio and his hair is attacking the world.
Wow.
So, shallow, stupid, simple system, but gonzo shenanigans.
Okay, so the Tricolor Lords, or whatever the hell they are, have decided that they are going to hair Earth to death.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And you must fight and trim.
Yeah. I mean, if you really wanted, we could... embrace the weird celebrity linking game thing that we've had and that we've got this collection of bald heroes who are fighting the alien hair menace.
So Bruce will definitely be leading that, of course.
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
The reanimated creature built out of Yul Brynner.
Vin Diesel.
Okay.
I think
Idris Elba, sort of.
Sort of.
Depending on role.
I think Vin has to shave, though, so that could be his Achilles heel.
This is Achilles' scalp, as it would be.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah.
I'm glad.
And if you're running at a con, what you need is a selection of wigs. The hair gets longer and longer and longer. So the last quarter of the game is huge mass of hair.
And I like it. I like it. So it's like the Doom pool, except it's just getting everywhere into the drinks, the crisps.
Yep, that's nightmare fuel. Wonderful.
My work
and
here
very
is done.
Definitely a one shot. So
very yeah. definitely a one shot. Okay.
You may have to GM it under an assumed name.
You have to disguise your identity by wearing a wig.
The plan has no flaws at all.
Apart from the fact that you just showed two thumbs up to a microphone. Well done, Ben.
There are theories about voice acting that I can't corroborate myself, but apparently there's a lot of physical action.
Oh, absolutely.
People can tell.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, shall we move on to John Tent?
Dum, dum, dum!
John Tent for episode 33. I will read this verbatim from what was sent in by one John Allison, one of our foreign correspondents, but the one who keeps getting in under the wire to actually contribute to a show before we record. Ah! Other people can get in on this if they want, though at that point it wouldn't be John Tent. Anyway, the following are based on my incredibly fragmentary knowledge of Bible stories and deliberately no actual research on them whatsoever. First idea. The Samson Protocol sounds like the collective name for a set of sumptuary laws regulating hair length based on social class. The neo-aristocracy grows their hair as long as possible to demonstrate they don't have to work in food service jobs, whereas fry cooks are the lowest caste in the social hierarchy and must keep themselves bald after the technology for constructing hair nets was lost.
John, I love you. Stay weird, bro.
I'm just going to wait for Ben to stop fizzing.
Was it the lost hairnet technology?
No, it was the whole sumptuary laws crossing over with food prep. And yeah, that's just bizarre.
I get the idea that, I don't know, has John spent time in the food service industry and does he still have his fryer scars?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised just
okay.
based on circumstance and things, but yeah. Skilled labourers can have hair, but cut quite short so it can't get caught in machines. Hairstylists are a middle-class professional guild, but have special dispensation to adopt any hair length so as to demonstrate their skill to their upper-class clients. I can't conceive of a game based around this, but it could be a background element of some suitably dystopian setting.
Paranoia. I would go with the whole wigs thing. I'd have a selection of wigs, all the way from the uber mullet, or possibly hilarious afro, right down to a flesh tone swim cap.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than being red clearance or yellow clearance or whatever,
yeah.
you are
bald cap.
Bald clearance, crew cut clearance, working your way up towards mullet clearance.
Mullets would be subversive by their very nature, being that they are business at front,
party at the back. Yes.
it's definitely a disruptive sort of hairstyle.
Well, maybe that's the haircut of...
Of the resistance.
The haircut yeah. of the resistance,
definitely.
Yeah.
Also mohawks. Just mohawks, other kinds of hair shenanigans.
Indeed.
Mm. Mm. What about the faux hawk?
That would possibly be for your...
Upwardly mobile type?
Or no, or maybe your fake revolutionary, or somebody being aping revolutionary style.
This is how you can spot the secret police.
Careful coiffure.
Yeah.
People who are undercover with the man just hide their tendencies with a rat's tail that they can tuck into their collar.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, this is putting me in mind of the terribly, terribly obvious undercover cops who used to come to student parties.
I was
parties.
Just thinking that.
You know, these guys who'd turn up to student parties, and they're always really well-dressed, and one of them always has a really awful moustache. It's just... You could turn up in uniform and be less suspicious.
Yeah.
And to be blunt, somebody would probably offer you a joint.
Shall we move on to the second part of John Tent?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Is that for this episode?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he pitched two ideas for the Samson Protocol. Or instead, based on the idea of bringing the house down. Players are employed in the large personal staff of some important/rich person, like an emperor or merchant or whatnot, who lives in a massive private space station. One day, as they're going about their business, a recorded message comes over the station speakers from their employer explaining that his enemies have broken in and assassinated him. In order to prevent them from stealing any of his secrets, technology, or treasures, the failsafe Samson Protocol has been automatically activated. As such, the station's manoeuvring thrusters have just finished expending all their fuel, deorbiting the entire base. The players have 2 hours to escape before the station crashes into the surface of the barren planet below. From their starting point somewhere near the physical centre of the station's volume, they have to contend with damage to the station, other panicked staff, the troops who attacked the base, the automated defences that were activated to fight those troops and now have no one actively controlling them, in order to make it to one of the hangar bays and take a shuttle to get away.
Neat.
So, escape or die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could go with something as simple as zombie cinema, or go for a fully tactical...
Millennium's End is the only way to go for
indeed,
this one.
Indeed, your product placement shock ratios are inevitable.
Indeed.
I don't know. I'm seeing kind of escape or die, kind of doom clock vibe.
Mm. It does remind me in some ways of a great board game we've mucked around with from time to time called Sucking Vacuum, which we picked up the grounds of, I think the slogan was, 6 astronauts, 1 escape pod, 2 seats, you do the math.
kind of, I always like being the chimp so that you can...
Chimp! 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 Chimp!
Yeah.
So that you could also be a monkey wielding a terrified cat as a weapon.
Yeah.
It is one of the better weapons.
That is the biggest, most complex part of playing Sucking Vacuum. The complex politics over who gets to be the chimp. You could run this as simple or as complicated as you wanted, really, regarding the Gonzo escape from Station Alpha, whatever the hell to call it, thing. I mean, the ridiculous excess and wealth of the person owning the station and the fact that I just think that deorbiting it makes perfect sense put me in mind of Warhammer 40k.
Yeah.
So
that the bad guys have come in and apparently shot a load-bearing employer. The whole thing is coming apart.
Yeah, a society where it seems reasonable. The aristocrat's dead and he's taking everybody else with him. Screw you guys.
Yes.
Warhammer.
Yeah.
Avery buried with all of his retainers kind of thing.
No, Smithers, you won't inherit anything. Having you interred alive with me at my feet to serve me in the afterlife. Oh, goody.
Nice. Actually, this could also be a Star Wars thing.
True.
Given that I don't think anybody made it off those Death Stars.
That is
Sorry,
true.
Sorry, spoilers.
Cue arguments about contracting ethics from clerks. Yep. And other such things.
I always figured that as soon as the alarm started going off, there was a fairly steady stream of shuttlecraft and the like just quietly sneaking away. That if they just rotated the camera around a little bit,
you'd see this fleet of
a little bit more than just
vehicles,
shuttles crammed to the brim with everybody who could pile on.
Hey, the McDonald's staff,
maintenance.
Dude, Yavin was an inside job. Everyone knows that.
Mail to Ben at Big Couch.
So
we didn't core each other's ideas as much as we thought as we could have done.
Indeed,
That seems to happen every time we think, "Oh, everybody's going to do the same thing." We've got the most obvious thing possible.
Well, we all—I think there was pretty universal agreement about the Clive Cussler Bible, Clive Cussler, John Clancy kind of Bible thing, except then everyone scattered.
Mm.
Yep.
Actually, speaking of Dagon, Tom Clancy has the Innsmouth lock.
You mentioned that, actually.
Yeah.
I think
I haven't done it on air yet, though, so I wanted to inform everyone. You should
indeed
look at pictures.
That's Kev.
Tom, unblinking Clancy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be getting a lot of complaint mail about this episode.
Oh, it's about time, seriously.
Though it should be pointed out, and I am in no way endorsing Kevin's theory about Tom Clancy, but he did write a book on submarines.
So did Clive Cussler, although I haven't seen any pictures of him.
We should check.
We should check.
This was more of a technical work.
Oh, right.
Okay.
About submarines and how to get in while you're under
underwater. Submarines and how they work and how to win, effectively.
Right. Interesting.
I borrowed it off a friend of mine once. Don't ask.
I think we may have juiced all of the content from this concept for the week.
Indeed.
I think so. I got nothing else.
Well, if anybody else wants to join John in providing John Tent, in fact, we should keep the collective noun of John Tent for stuff people contribute early enough to be recorded, even if they're not called John, because it's ridiculous and amuses me.
That's
also,
true.
We don't have any better grounds or worse grounds, so yes.
Woo! Also, this was our 33rd episode?
Yes.
Does that mean the podcast has come of age of adulthood as a hobbit?
Yes, it has.
I would like to point out that two of the cast members are barefoot at this time.
And I'm hairy.
Several of the cast members are hairy.
yeah.
Some of us do have luscious, flowing locks.
I got hairy feet.
Yeah.
I count extra.
I'm pretty sure at some time Craig killed a bunch of guys with bones of his ass. So.
What?
What? What?
Samson.
Oh!
So we are well qualified to speak on the topics we have spoken upon today.
I'd assume that was some sort of fart game.
If you fart hard enough to shoot out your pelvis, you are hardcore, yes.
This doesn't seem physically possible. That's what his opponents kept saying.
And with that, I'm going to wrap this up before we get any further out of hand. Nice to see you folks.
Bye.
Bye.
Please come back.
See ya. Please love us.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
I'm still here, Treasure Planet.
Awesome. I love the spam bots.
They work very hard.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to HOARDE.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!